We are recording this in a worlds are colliding kind of moment today, Anthony Masterson, because right now I am looking at Sam Dykstra, the co-host of the MILB podcast, the show before the show, who is sitting in my kitchen.
What?
And you are on the other end of this Skype call. The two podcast worlds are colliding.
Worlds colliding.
Worlds are colliding.
A Tyler divided against himself.
Sam says, a Tyler divided against himself cannot stand. Which is true. Well, it is true.
But it's also a special day because it is also your birthday.
It is. It is indeed. It is. This is the start of my Larry Walker year.
You are 21 years old.
I'm 21 years old.
Finally
all
get
over
to try
again,
beer.
Folks.
Yeah.
Finally get to taste my first alcoholic beverages. My 21st birthday, I remember being like pretty lame. But my 22nd birthday was like, whoa. That was one of the ones where things went well off the rails.
Things went south in a hurry.
Things went south very quickly. Also, I thought we recorded on my birthday last year, but we did not. So, this is the first birthday recording podcast, apparently.
Because two years ago, I was in Europe for your birthday.
We skipped a podcast that week.
And
3 years ago, who knows? I'm not going to go back that far.
we were drunk in a ditch somewhere.
Was that was the second? Didn't we start this in 2014? Is this the fifth season of this podcast?
I don't even know anymore.
I think it is. Yeah, it is. June. Nope, didn't do it in 2014. And let's see about. Yeah, no, 2015. No, nope. First
nope.
one. Not that it's anything that anybody should be excited about. But
no, it's really not.
But yeah, but Sam came out for it. So I'm just saying, it's cool though. Cool. Whatever.
Anyway.
Whatever. It's fine.
Welcome to Purple Dinosaur Podcast, everyone.
Anthony takes what on earth is going on? This is the second straight week in which my phone has just randomly started playing a podcast while I'm recording a podcast. That's very creepy.
That's good. Are you sure
Anthony takes birthdays very seriously? Yeah. I've always respected that about you. You're big on birthdays.
I do. I don't think I should have to work on my birthday ever.
Yeah.
I always make it a point that I don't do that.
Yeah. I recall. When is your birthday?
May 11th.
May 11th. Yeah. You picked a good industry to work in.
Yeah.
Working in sports.
Great.
There's never anything going on in May, at least in sports. Not baseball or the NFL draft
or
basketball playoffs or hockey playoffs. Never anything.
Nope.
So that's good. That part's good, at least.
I'm fine, guys. Don't worry about it.
This year, I'm like going to do something for my birthday tomorrow. I'm going to have a whole bunch of people come through to Lowdown Brewery on 8th and Broadway at 7:30 tomorrow night. If you're tuned in, you want to swing by and say hello. I never do anything for my birthday. And then it was explained to me, you know, when you get in your 30s, nobody's going to organize anything for your birthday. You got to just do it yourself. And I was
it's true.
All right. Yeah. I guess I will do that this year. So, So tomorrow, if you are tuned in to the old PDP on the day on which we are dropping this episode, as they say, we'll say hello. Come on by.
So
say hello.
People who aren't are just going to show up at the brewery like the next night after they listen to it for weeks.
Where is he?
Just to catch a glimpse.
They're going to hold
the elusive Tyler Mond.
Boom boxes over their head. It's going to be great.
Yeah, well, we do have a gift for you, but like the
Aww,
wife and I
have you
for you.
To do that.
But we don't know where it is because we had bought it a while ago, and then we packed it, and so it's somewhere in our house now.
Oh, okay.
When we find it, we will send it to you.
Hey, don't worry about it. It's no rush. But yeah, so it's the Rockies will attempt a series victory over the New York Metropolitans today for my birthday.
Somehow.
Which is very exciting. Somehow. But yeah, as Anthony said, thanks for joining us. This is the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Mond.
And I'm Anthony Masterson.
And episode 138 today. 138. Let's just say your Colorado Rockies.
Definitely your Rockies this week.
Definitely all of your Rockies. They're not our Rockies. They're your Rockies. I've somehow won two straight. Despite the fact that it's played like 1999 Coors Field the last couple of days. And the Mets somehow got 8 runs off of Chad Bettis yesterday and then did not score a single run off of the 2018 Rockies bullpen, which I didn't think was possible. I didn't think it was possible for the 2018 Rockies bullpen to go out and throw a scoreless ball, but they did.
I mean, they scored some runs off the bullpen,
true,
technically.
They just weren't charged to the bullpen. Yeah,
right.
True. Yeah.
So
I guess we shouldn't, shouldn't say it was a totally clean slate. But yeah, it was a very weird one yesterday, in which the Rockies came away with a 10-8 win for the second straight night in a game that they trailed 4-0, led 6-4, trailed 8-6, and then ended up winning 10-8. That was like the time I tweeted this out last night. Every time the camera finds Bud Black in the dugout right now, it looks like they've entered a time machine and they're showing Jim Leland in 1997. He just looks like he's ready to pull his.
You mean like
out.
The year he won the World Series with the Marlins?
Oh, 1998.
Nine? Eight, nine. Whatever. Whenever the hell he was here.
Whenever he was here. Yeah. But the hatred on Bud Black's face for where he is right now.
99.
Is like, whew, woof.
Yeah. Well, I mean, be fair, the team has allowed 8 runs or more in 9 straight home games. You know, the last team to do that was when Grover Cleveland was in his second term as president.
Yeah.
1894 was the last time that actually happened.
Yep.
So blame Coors all you want, but the Rockies have
They did a lot of that on the road.
Garbage at home.
Yep. The St. Louis Browns in the 1890s did that, and that doesn't count because they weren't playing with gloves and they were hitting with, like, you know, pieces of trees that they just pulled off. They didn't have actual bats. They didn't have electricity. They didn't even wear pants, from what I've heard.
No, just a bunch of naked dudes running around. Running around with a bunch of wood.
It's flopping in the breeze.
Yep.
It has not been great, let's say. It has not been a great stretch. And yet, somehow, they ended up winning 2 straight games. They've got a chance to get a series win today.
It is always so funny when these type of the Coors games happen.
Yeah.
When it's facing an East Coast team.
Oh my God,
especially
much.
A New York team.
Especially the Mets. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when it happens with the Yankees, that's one thing. But like, the Mets, it always seems like the Mets and Rockies have very Coors-y series whenever they come to Coors.
Yeah.
And the last 2 games have gone so poorly for the Mets. And just seeing the New York media just completely break down about Coors Field is just...
it's so beautiful. I don't know what it is about Mets fans, but they freak the fuck out about Coors Field the way no other fans do. Like, even the fans you would expect to just loathe Coors Field, like Giants fans, because Giants fans have to listen to Kruko and Kuiper bitch about Coors Field nonstop. Yeah. Mets fans and Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez, like, they point out Coors Field stuff, but they're not Kruko and Kuiper just constantly harping on it. They're very good. They're very level. I don't know what the deal is with Mets fans, but they freak out about Coors Field more. It's so much more fun to retweet angry Mets fans than any other fan base because they get so mad. Although we did retweet one guy yesterday who was putting together like a little freelance, a little rap.
A song?
About, I guess, or a poem about Coors Field. And he used 2 words that didn't rhyme. And I retweeted it and said, "These words don't even rhyme." And he responded and said something like, "Nah, I tried doing my best." And I was like, "Damn it, you're not supposed to be nice. Now I feel bad." Supposed to be a jerk Mets fan.
Who's the dick now?
I know. I felt terrible. Yeah. And then I responded and said, "Actually, it was pretty good. Just make it feel a little better." The last couple of days, I don't know, the last couple of days have turned into wins, and that's good. But it also just feels like it's putting a Band-Aid on a cannonball wound, where it's like, everything is still not up to par.
Yeah, like we're still gushing blood out of a lot of different orifices, but, you know, we got a Band-Aid covering up the cut under our eye.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. Where do we start? This has been a historically bad stretch. And if you wanted to know the pointlessness of the win in baseball, Brian Shaw got the win yesterday. And to be fair, Brian Shaw actually pitched well compared to every other outing of Brian Shaw's career.
He got an out.
He got an out. That's successful.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He faced one batter and got him out. Nearly walked him with the bases loaded. Got it to 3-2. But hey. Yeah.
Made it work somehow.
Made it work.
So.
I mean, with the exception of Adam Ottavino, this bullpen is arguably
a dumpster fire.
The worst in Rockies history.
Which is incredible. incredible.
That's so hard to imagine because there's been a lot of really bad bullpens in the history of this team. Right now, they collectively
pretty much everyone of them.
Team ERA in the bullpen is 5.65. The only season that was ever worse in the history of this illustrious franchise was 1999. Speaking of Jim Leland, when they had a 5.72 and opponents hit 3.01 against the bullpen with an 877 OPS.
Oh my God.
But to be fair, that year they also hit really well against the starters too. So
yeah, they did well against everybody.
That team was 72-90 and they probably shouldn't have won 72 games.
Yeah. Yeah, and they sent what was then one of the greatest managerial careers in baseball history to its ugliest chapter and a purported retirement in 1999 so he could go spend more time with his family because he hated baseball. Because Coors Field robbed him of his love of baseball, he said.
Go hike the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, exactly.
That year, the entire team had an ERA over 6. As a team! They had an ERA over 6. But also, that same year, they had the most complete games in their franchise history with 12.
I think at that point, you just start realizing, like, just keep them out there. It's not like anything's going to get worse.
Well, Pedro Astacio, you got 150 pitches in you today.
Exactly. Congratulations. You're going to throw 150 pitches for the next 5 outings. Congratulations.
They allowed over 1,000 runs that year.
By the way, John Gray, when he struck out his 10th batter in Texas, the Rangers broadcast team was saying, I'm pretty sure he's already second in franchise history in 10 strikeout games. I know that for certain. But I think he's only like 3 behind Pedro Astacio. That's amazing.
For most 10 strikeout games?
For most 10 strikeout games in his career.
That's probably true.
Which is like, it shows you one thing that the Rockies haven't emphasized throughout franchise history. Guys who can get the strikeout.
Just about ground balls. And just about ground balls and being left-handed.
Woof. Yeah, those are good things. So yeah, this has been historically bad. And I don't know what the next step is. So here's where we are. The Rockies as a team are actually faring relatively well in 2/3 of the things that you want to see a team fare well. They've been hitting lately.
Exciting to see. That's great.
Ryan McMahon pinch hit 3-run homer yesterday that turns the game around, and he gets rewarded by being sent back down to Albuquerque today.
Which is so much fun. Carrying a 3-man bench for at least today.
That'll go great.
And 2 of those guys are catchers.
That'll go great. Tony Wolters, I would imagine, is not going to catch for the foreseeable future. Yeah. I think he's probably your utility infielder right now.
And also, Nick Groke reported that Herman Marquez will be the available in the bullpen, 1, today, and 2, the pinch hitter off the bench.
Oh, my God.
So that's where the Rockies are right now on June 21st.
Happy birthday to me. The Rockies are 36-38. They are 4.5 games back in the division. They are 4 games back in the wild card. They're still, like, very much in all of these races. They are 7 games under 500 at Coors Field.
I can't believe they're that good. They've got an ERA of nearly 6.5 at home this year, which would be their worst, except for that 1999 season when they allowed a 7.11 ERA at Coors Field. Opponents hit 328 with a 972 OPS at Coors Field that year.
I'm actually understanding more of Jim Leland's.
I can see why Jim Leland was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm out.
I hate everything.
I hate everyone. I hate everything. Screw you. Screw you.
Can you imagine how much he smoked that year in the dugout? Imagine the dugout tunnel? There must have just been like a pile, like a small mountain of cigarette butts every
day. As much smoke as there is in the stands right now at Coors Field, am I right?
That was the one good Mets fan tweet yesterday. A guy said, I think they legalized marijuana in Colorado so people could chill out at Coors Field.
Which is, that's the best Coors Field tweet I think I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Regardless of fandom.
Probably true. Yeah. I had this conversation with Renan Notaro on his show the other day. The Rockies are in a circumstance right now where, and I hate these types of analyses about sports, which is similar to something that we discussed a couple of weeks ago, in which the Rockies got their head smashed in by the Dodgers in that series at Coors Field. And I said, hey, one of these teams has played in big series over the last few years and the other one hasn't. And it looked that way. That's a base level evaluation. This one is too, but I think this one is just as accurate. There comes a point on sports teams and in franchises in which guys just have to be better. You know, like,
yeah.
There's no, to paraphrase Rick Pitino, like, you know, Joe Bimel's not walking through that door, folks. Like,
to
I don't know.
Paraphrase Rick Pitino, no, sir, I did not have sex with that woman.
To paraphrase Bobby Petrino, I don't know whose motorcycle that was.
yeah. No, you're, but you're right, though. Like,
a Louisville fan? That's going to be something. Yeah. But anyway, like, nobody's coming up from Albuquerque. There's nobody you can sign. It's not like there's a glut of good free agent pitchers out there. You're not acquiring anybody in trades right now, apparently, although the Washington Nationals are doing it. Like, that's a month away before you're really going to look at pulling the trigger on the trade market.
The Rockies
have to be better.
The Rockies have three pitchers right now on the team this year with ERAs under 4.5. Adam Ottavino, of course. Kyle Freeland, who pitches today, the 3.59. And Scott Oberg, 4.08. That's it. That's it. Only pitchers with ERAs under 4.5. Some of them have been better than that, of course, but flat out, that's it. Right now on the active roster, they have four guys with ERAs over 7, and Mike Dunn, who is just chilling in limbo for no reason, he's got a 9. So that's fun too.
Yikes. Yeah, and I think it's just you're at a point where, like, you have multiple guys on the roster that are making 8 figures out of your bullpen, and at some point, I think you got to just tell them you have to bow up. You have to be better because you can't go the Mike Dunn route with everybody. You can't just place everybody on the DL, call somebody up, and hope it gets better. Because
there's nobody there.
In Albuquerque. They called up Yency Almonte today, who's going to make his major league debut out of the bullpen. Yency Almonte has not been good this year and wasn't good last year at the end of the season when he went up to Albuquerque either. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't as bad as he's been this year. So, I don't know, man. Like, that seems to be all there is at this stage. Is like, I don't know, stop sucking?
Yeah, like I don't know why. Like, and there's just been so many guys this year, a little curious usage for Bud Black. Like, he's had guys sitting in the back of that bullpen who just he just doesn't use for, like, weeks at a time, like Brooks Pounders. Like, if you're not going to use those guys, why are they there?
Yeah, I actually forgot that Brooks Pounders was still on the active roster.
He shouldn't be.
And, like, Jeff Hoffman, what's the deal with Jeff Hoffman lately? Like, he's pitched actually pretty well in relief, and they use him once every 5 days. Which, I guess, I don't know, if you're looking to get him back into the rotation, maybe that makes sense. But, like, why? If you're – the Rockies right now are at a 9-man bullpen and a 3-man bench. And it's like, yeah, desperate times call for desperate measures, but you also have guys on your roster that you just have not used at all. Like, I shouldn't say Jeff Hoffman has pitched because he's only pitched 3 games.
Yeah, he had really
one
bad,
terrible game.
Really bad game against the Mets on Monday.
Mets. But he, his first 2 outings prior to that were pretty good. But it's like, how do you know what you've got out of him? How do you know what you've got out of Brooks Pounders? Scott Oberg, it seems like we rarely see. And obviously there's been health stuff there, but Scott Oberg hasn't pitched since June 7th. And even before that, it was like every other day with him. And when he's been somebody who's been effective, you would think like, okay, maybe he'll get a little bit more time. I don't know. I just don't know there are no solutions. Like, that's the thing. It's not that they're that you're looking outside the box and trying to find other solutions. Like, there are no solutions.
No.
You just have to be better. Because that's what it is in baseball. You know?
And these guys have been in the big leagues long enough that they know that. And they're getting paid big league salaries. They need to be better. And it sounds like a cop-out that we're just saying that, like, eventually maybe they'll figure it out. No, they just have to be better. Brian Shaw can't be worse.
No.
Like,
no.
Wade Davis has to figure it out. He has had the yips almost over the last couple of weeks. He looked better last night, I guess. But, you know, Jake McGee has been incredibly inconsistent. You need those three guys in the back end of your bullpen if you're going to do anything this year. If you even have, like, any kind of site set in October, you need those three guys, because Adam Ottavino, bless his damn heart, cannot do it alone.
Yeah.
Even though he's trying. He's trying real hard.
Trying his hardest. Even somebody like Chris Russon.
You look at Chris Russon's numbers
and you think like, oh, Chris Russon's put up four straight scoreless outings. Well, one of them he didn't record an out. That was last night. And technically it was a scoreless outing, but he gave up a hit and two walks.
And he's the one to give all those runs to Chad Bettis, all those inherited runs.
Yeah. The two outings prior to that were a third of an inning each. He issued a walk in one of them, and then he had a scoreless inning against the Phillies back on the 12th. That's four straight quote-unquote scoreless outings, really only three, and it's dropped his ERA to 7.36.
And it seems like every time that the Rockies bring in a reliever with men on base, that guy comes around to score right away.
Yeah.
I mean, right now the Rockies have allowed 42% of inherited runners to score, which is by far the most in baseball this year. It's the most by any National League team since the 2000 Cubs. And that Cubs team was 65-97. The Rockies are only two games under 500, and they've got that kind of a bullpen, and they play that poorly at home. How the hell is this team only two games under 500?
That's the thing, really. I mean, when you look at this team, and I was texting with a couple of people about this the other day, like, we had all these conversations early on in the season about, like, well, you know, they haven't played their best ball yet. They're still a first-place team. They're five
but
games under 500
differential.
Or whatever. Yeah, and now it's like, yeah, they haven't played their best ball yet. They haven't really played that good a ball at all. How the hell are they still a team that's two games under 500? Like, that's what it feels like lately.
And it feels like they're just always in a hole lately. I mean, their ERA in the first inning is nearly eight this year. I mean, and they've been doing a good job of coming back. The offense has really picked it up, to be honest. And
but, like, can you imagine how deflating it is to be a member of this offense right now? Like, in a game, especially like that game in Texas, you go out.
You score 12 runs on the road,
and you end up losing that game. Wade Davis looked like if you were intentionally trying to lose a game on a video game just so you could, like, get it over with so you could save it. That's pretty much what Wade Davis looked like in that ninth inning against the Rangers. Just like, I'll just walk everybody. It doesn't matter what happens. Then I'll throw something down the dick and it'll be a walk-off hit. But it was Wade Davis comes in. Delino DeShields walks. Delino DeShields steals second base. Nomar Mazara walks. Then he got a fly out. Rougned Odor singles. Kiner Falefa walks. DeShields scores on that. Base is still loaded. Joey Gallo walks. Mazara scores. And then you give up the walk-off. Like, it was so, like, kindergarten level bad.
Yeah.
That it just, that was, I mean, that's got to be the low point.
It sure as hell better be. I mean, we've had disheartening losses as Rockies fans that we've experienced over the years. And
more often than not.
And I know it was only a June Sunday game, an interleague contest, whatever. That was one of the more disheartening losses I think we've ever all experienced as part of the Rockies. And I'm not saying it was one of the worst losses. I'm not saying it was worse than losing the World Series or being bounced in the 09 playoffs or losing the wild card game last year even. But that was one of the more disheartening losses because it was everything the Rockies had built for this season came to a head. And every single one of those guys they used to build that roster, construct the roster this year, the expensive guys, the Wade Davis, the Brian Shaw, the Jake McGee, they all screwed up royally in that game.
Yep.
And it's a helpless feeling because, you know, we've talked about this in the podcast before. We're not going to rehash it, you know, as much, but the warning signs were not really there for Brian Shaw and Wade Davis. Like, you know,
I guess you could say that the mileage on Brian Shaw maybe gives you a little bit of pause, but still.
He had mileage last year
and
was still incredibly
effective.
And he was
fantastic. So that's what I don't get is everybody was like, oh, well, I mean, I didn't understand why the Rockies were getting all this credit anyway. Their signings weren't that impressive. It's like when you look at the bodies of work for all these guys, yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah, to an extent, maybe Wade Davis was just replacing Greg Holland. But if you're upgrading the closer position, that's a significant upgrade. Brian Shaw and his body of work was significantly better than anybody the Rockies threw out there yesterday or last season. This season, he's just been atrocious. And Jake McGee, if you got 2017 Jake McGee back, that's a terrific signing. Adding in an effective and brilliant Adam Ottavino, like, that's four top flight type relievers, of which one has pitched that way this year.
It's easy for, you know, condescending woke Twitter to say, like, oh, well, I thought those signs were bad when they made them.
I was the one who was on this topic long ago. I don't think anybody thought
that. No, you were not.
And like and we had this conversation last week. Like, everybody's like, oh, well, Jeff Breinich and his scouting department, they need to take responsibility for this. What would you have scouted in these guys that was going to suggest this type of regression?
Wade Davis would not be able to throw a strike ever again? Like,
how would anybody
see
that coming?
That was not part of his game at all. At any point.
What makes you think more is, what is the root cause behind this to everybody? Because it's all common things. Like, across this staff, nobody challenges hitters on full counts. Nobody's able to start with first pitch strikes. Every single starter is bad in the first inning. Like, is it a Steve Foster and Darren Holmes issue?
Calm down. Jeez, you're like, firing everybody?
It's a common thing that makes you think, like, well, it's not just like, oh, all these guys started to suck at the same time. Like, shouldn't there be something that you can tweak in these routines that gets you some kind of different results? I don't know. I'm not smart enough.
You would hope.
What
I don't
hearing,
know.
I got a text message trying to find it that Bud Black had a meeting in which he fired everyone. But I mean, that's what it comes down to, is like, it's not going to get better unless these guys start performing better. That's all it is right now.
Yep.
Nothing else matters, and nothing else is riding in to save the day, because nobody's good in Albuquerque. Like, nobody has been good at Albuquerque. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and we got an Ask PDP question of like, well, who could they go down to Albuquerque and get? And the guys with the best relief numbers the entire season for the Albuquerque Isotopes this year have been Brooks Pounders and Scott Oberg.
Yep.
I guess you could go make a call for Craig Schlitter, who's pitched in two games so far and has an ERA of 2.25. Antonio Sensatella has not pitched since June 6th. He's been hurt. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's not a lot going on that suggests positive returns anywhere. Carlos Estevez hasn't pitched since April. Jairo Diaz is now out of the organization. He was once a promising dude. There's not a lot of guys, A, that are having any success, B, that are on the 40-man roster, which is the move with Yancy Almonte coming up. They called up Sam Howard for that one game in which he and Jerry Vasto made their major league debuts against the Dodgers, and that was an absolute abject disaster.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the guys in the bullpen right now. That is how it's going to be for the Rockies and Bud Black. There's, like, if you're swinging a deal for a Raisel Iglesias or a, you know, Brad Hand or something, which is not going to happen more than likely because they're not going to trade that in a division, but there aren't a ton of options there. I don't know.
Nope. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. See where this goes. So anyway, Ryan McMahon goes down. Yancy Almonte comes up today. Ryan McMahon continues to be the weirdest managed guy in the history of this franchise.
Yep.
That's fun. So I don't know. I mean, as of right now, I think when you're looking at things and you're looking for positives, they have won their last two games. They're going for a series win today at home, which is something that they haven't done much this year. Then they get a bad Marlins team in town. But then they go on the road to San Francisco and Los Angeles.
The Rockies are a bad team too. So,
well,
you know,
true. And they
at least right now
terribly in Miami. Well, they scored two runs in that series over three games.
In the whole series?
Yeah.
Was it two runs or one?
1-0 win. 1-0 win on the opener, and then they lost 4-1 in the Saturday game and 3-0 in the Sunday game.
That was great. Good stuff.
Yes, that's good. And they go on the road to San Francisco and Los Angeles, and then they come home for San Francisco, and then they go on the road to Seattle. And then Arizona and Seattle before the All-Star break. So, like, nothing gets easier after this Marlins series. So if you're going to go into the All-Star break on any kind of momentum, you got to start figuring out how to win at home. I don't know, man. I think that was the only topic that we had today.
Yeah, we just want to be like, this all sucks. We hate everything. We haven't done a We Hate Everything show in a while.
That's true. We haven't had to for like the last year and a half.
Yeah.
2 years.
I mean, but we could talk about how good it's been that C. Ian Desmond actually performing like a very, very good person. In the month of June, he's got the second best OPS on the team, and he's slashing .271, .394, .576. That's pretty incredible. Considering where he was, like, he was hitting, let's see, where is, what was his low points? Because there seemed like there were plenty.
there were a lot of them.
I mean,
but the good news is Tracy Ringlesby is here to tell us that he was right about Ian Desmond all along.
He was not. see, April 21st, he was slashing 151, 182, 329. That seems pretty bad.
As recently as May 21st, he was slashing 172, 227, 356.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what's so crazy about Ian Desmond is, like, he's a bad hitter still overall with a 213 average and a 716 OPS. His slugging percentage is 431. Ian Desmond has 54 total hits. 24 of those have gone for extra bases.
Yeah.
That's pretty absurd. And I don't know if he's just, like, guessing right on fastballs. Like, that was Nate Kregman's point. He and I had lunch the other day, and Nate said last year they were talking to Joe Mauer on their show, and Nate said that Joe Mauer told him, like, as I get older, I have to guess right on fastballs. That's what I do. Like, I'm guessing in counts, and if I get one and I'm able to turn on it, that's what's successful for me. I don't know if that's Ian Desmond's approach right now. If it is, that's great.
Yeah.
But, like, whatever he's doing, it's worked. Ian Desmond for the month of June, 271, 394, 576.
I mean, when play ended on May 17th, he was slashing 167, 213, 340. And since – which is not good for a full 7 weeks of the season. But since then, 30 games, so pretty much a month's worth of games – 282, 380, 563 for a 943 OPS. He's hit 9 home runs in that time. He's driven in 25. He has walked 15 times as well compared to 28 strikeouts. And only hitting the ball on the ground 60.5% of the time. How do you do Ian Desmond? Which is funny because right now his ground ball percentage, as you know, remember last year he led the league, it is a tenth of a point better than it was last year. That's it. Last year, 63.5%. This year, 63.4%.
Oh, boy. That is...
But again, he is performing as best over a stretch of about a month right now, better than he has performed at any point for this significant of a stretch in his time with the Rockies. And it is a credit where credit is due department, all right? You know, He could have folded. He deleted his Twitter account. He was literally, arguably, the worst hitter in baseball not named Chris Davis for the Orioles Chris Davis, not the A's one. And he was that the worst hitter in the National League, let's just say, for the first 6-7 weeks of the season. And since then, he has been in the top 20 hitters in the NL in the last month. I mean, that's to go from the absolute bottom to at least respectability. He's getting there. You know, right now his OPS is better than it was last year. It's 716 right now. It was 701 last year.
Oh, man. I mean, if he keeps it going, you know, that's very needed.
Oh, he's already hit more than twice as many home runs he hit all of last year in 23 fewer games. I mean, at the very least, they're getting more of their money's worth now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at some point, like, you just have to take that and go, all right, well.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll live.
it just sucks. Like, I think the thing that stands out most is, you know, and you and I have talked about this, like, this season hasn't been fun. Like, I think you could make the argument that in a perverse way that only true Rockies fans will get. That sounds like one of those clickbait ads.
Yeah.
Only real Rockies fans will get this.
You will believe what Matthew Perry looks like now.
I think, like, the 2015 season when they were just garbage was almost more fun because at least when you have no expectations attached to something, you can all just sit around on Twitter and make jokes about how futile life is. But now, like, this year, like, you came into this season with a lot of anticipation, with a lot of expectations. It's a down year. I mean, this is a season in which any good team would be running away with this division. It's there to be had, and the Rockies have collapsed in June. They've been a terrible team in June, and they're doing it in the ugliest ways possible. And it's just like when you go into something with anticipation, they're 6-12 this month. They've got a staff ERA of 7.52 for the month of June. And it's, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago when at Rockies was like, this has been the worst year on social media and people yada, have shown yada. Their true colors and blah, blah, blah. It's really disappointing. Well, I think you'd rather have that than have it be a season in which nobody cares and there are no expectations. But at the same time, like, yeah, it has not been fun. This and has this, not been fun at this point.
This is literally my nightmare.
Yeah.
Coming into this season was a repeat of 2008, but with Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like, you know.
Yeah. Twitter was around then and none of us knew it.
Like, of course, God. Like, yeah, well, sure. Like, it was like just Shaq and like, that's it. But no, it was.
Shaq and one of my professors from journalism college, who I remember had Twitter in like 2006.
Weird. So it was like when I had Facebook in 2004.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. But it was like that because the expectations were there for really the first time at that point, for the first time in franchise history, and they fell flat on their face. And it was an embarrassment, and the season couldn't be over fast enough. And they rebounded the next year to make the playoffs. But I was so worried that 2018 would become another 2008 just because there were so many expectations, and that's not how the Rockies are used to playing. They're not used to being a team that can fulfill expectations. They are best when they are the underdog, and they, you know, incredibly typified by the run to October. They were literally almost eliminated every single day of that run.
Every day
of that run, and they needed massive help from other people while also taking care of their own business. Yes, whilst taking care of their own business. And then they finally made the world. They swept through the playoffs, made the World Series, and surprised literally everyone.
Yeah.
You know, in 2009, they were 10 to 12 games under 500 and fired their manager.
Yeah.
And then went on
played the best ball in franchise history.
They played the best run of 3.5 months this franchise has ever seen.
Yeah.
Even last year, when they got out hot, they still didn't play well in the second half of the season. They started out well for the first couple of months and then were terrible for the most part over the last 3 months and barely held on to a playoff spot. And they held a playoff spot every single day of the season last year.
Yep.
But they almost lost it. If they had another week of the season, they would not have made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that was more of a testament to the rest of the National League just having incredibly down years. And the extra wild card, of course, that always helps.
There is certainly a heavy the head that wears the crown type of thing with the Rockies that is not a – it's not even that accurate because they've never worn the crown. It's like heavy the head if you even get close to sniffing the crown. Like, they just can't handle it. They cannot handle it.
Heavy the head that enters the kingdom where the crown is being held.
Maybe that seems to seems to somehow sense that it is in the vicinity of the crown. And I don't know what the, you know, I don't think that there is, you know, stuff like that obviously is not something that is written. I mean, it doesn't translate. It's not like the 08 Rockies and the 2018 Rockies are suffering from the same exact things for the same exact reasons. But when you are a team that doesn't have a lot of veteran leadership that has been in these circumstances before, and yeah, you have Wade Davis now, you have some of these guys that have been in these spots before, but you know, not really among your big time guys. You don't have a manager who has ever won a playoff game, I believe. There is something to be said for the fact that franchises need to learn how to win, and the Rockies have never been that franchise.
Right.
Nice thing about baseball is, hey, they're going to lace them up and they're going to play in an hour and 10 minutes. And they've been around for 25 years. There are a lot of franchises that were bad for 25 years and then ended up winning. You know, didn't the Philadelphia Phillies lose 10,000 games in their franchise history before they won a World Series? They won a World Series, but before they won, like, their most recent World Series?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. They had won one World Series. They had lost 10,000 games, but they only won one World Series in that time.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. Whatever you said is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, you got it.
Like, there are franchises that are, you can turn things around and turn a franchise into something that can be successful, but it doesn't happen over the course of one wild card berth. Like, and that's what I think is frustrating, is when you come into a season like this and you think, yeah, man, this is a team that's finally going to get it on track. Not necessarily. Like, these are complicated things that take a long time. And unfortunately, we seem to be just witnessing, like, worst case scenario at the moment.
Yeah.
I guess not worst case scenario, because they've stayed healthy, and that's one thing you can say about this team, which has been good. But, like, God forbid they lost Nolan or something.
Oh my God.
Seriously, knocked wood.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I knocked wood, man. It's okay. I took everything away. That's how it works. So I just don't know. I just don't know, man. I don't know. Jerry, I don't know sometimes. But this is not how I like to be treated for my birthday. I'll say that right away.
Yeah, right?
They better win today. They better win today.
The Rockies blew a big lead on my birthday and ended up losing that game.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was
they
fun.
Have no respect for the birthdays. No respect at all.
That was that game against the Brewers where they were up, they were up 9-3 after four innings, ended up losing 11-10. Wade Davis blew the save in that one.
Yep.
That was fun.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. What else should we talk about? I don't know anything.
Tommy Murphy's up. It's nice that he's getting a chance to play, maybe. Yeah.
That's true. We finally get a chance to see. And, like, finally looks like the type of guy who's playing like a confident major leaguer, too, which is terrific. So.
Hopefully he gets a chance. I mean, that's the thing. He's never really had an opportunity.
Yeah. I think for the last couple of seasons we've been waiting for, like, is Tom Murphy ever going to get it figured out? And I don't think this was his last chance, but I think Tom Murphy was running short on chances.
Oh, he's getting
this
older.
Really looks like the type of guy who's ready to do it, which makes me very happy. This looks like the type of guy who's ready to take over as a staff. He's been, like, assertive behind the plate. He's been calling a good game. He's been playing pretty well defensively, which is not Tom Murphy's greatest asset. I think he's a very good defensive catcher, but the fact that he's a very good defensive catcher and also has a good offensive profile, something the Rockies have never developed. So I think the fact that you're getting that and it seems like it's showing up as a full package right now is really big, especially with the fact that, you know, nothing else was going right from the catching standpoint for the
Good
Rockies.
Good God, no.
So, like, that's been a very big bright spot. It just sucks because, like, you have these conversations and in the back of your mind you're thinking, like, well, none of it matters. They keep giving up 7 runs a game out of the bullpen.
Or 8 runs a game, you know, at home.
Oh, boy.
Like, it's... And every inning, like every game, they're just down in the first. 1-0, 2-0. You're just like, oh, here we go again. Like,
yep.
It's not good for anybody.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, the first inning thing, I don't know. I don't know what the deal
is. Is it worth it, you know, I don't want to be Brian Kenny here, but like, is it worth just like talking opening? About the opener? No, yeah. Just having an opener.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
like,
I don't think
it,
it's.
Is it. Would it be just the first inning a Rockies pitcher is on the mound, or is it literally just the first inning?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that would be the interesting thing. If you threw Adam Ottavino out there and he gives you a dominant first, and then you put John Gray in the second, is there a flow to the game that enables your starters to be better, or is it just, it's the first moment that a guy is on the mound as a quote-unquote starter for the Rockies and he's going to be bad no matter what?
You know?
That would be really interesting.
It's worth maybe trying it once with Chad Bettis, who is a more of a low stakes guy in your rotation, who has been just awful in the first inning.
Yeah,
you know, throw Brian Shaw out there and see what Brian Shaw does for an inning, and then bring Chad in and see if it is just a mental thing or if just like a really is like the just the first inning. I mean I don't know.
If they did it and it shows like a little bit of inventiveness, then you think to yourself, like, well, at least they're approaching this from a fresh set of eyes that you want to try to get better, and maybe this is a way you can do it. Chad Bettis this year has an ERA of 11.40 in the first inning. Chad Bettis has allowed 50 earned runs in total this year. 19 have come in the first inning.
God.
5 home runs of his 14 allowed in the first inning. He's walked 9 batters of his 32 walks in the first inning. And opponents are hitting .388 in the first inning against him.
That's why it wouldn't be a bad idea to try it with someone like him. Now, the way the Rays went about it, they tried to make it sound like they were being visionaries. The Rockies can try it by saying, guys, we suck in the first inning.
This is a necessity.
We're trying something different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wouldn't be the you know, four-man rotation, 75-pitch piggyback thing. That wouldn't be a stupid idea like that. It would be something to try and see if it works, especially for a guy like Chad, who you want in your rotation because he can play off a lot of other guys. He's a right-hander, but he's not hard-throwing. He can play off a guy like John Gray, and he's not a lefty like Anderson or Freeland. He can play off those guys. But he has not pitched well lately, and they need him to pitch well.
Yeah, and it, you know, they're still one of only two teams to use five starting pitchers this year, but you wonder how long that's going to last because, yeah, that has not been something that can be long sustained with how bad he's been over the last. He's given up at least five runs in five consecutive starts.
Yep.
Five runs over six innings against the Giants on May 28th. Five runs over 5 2/3 against the Dodgers on June 3rd. Five over four innings against the Diamondbacks on June 9th. Five over 5 2/3 against the Rangers on June 15th. He somehow got a win in that game. And eight on nine hits in 4 2/3 last night in a game that the Rockies somehow came back and won. But it's just like, you can't have it, you know? I mean, and Chad Bettis through the first month and a half of the season was the best guy in this rotation. Chad Bettis through his first, what is this, 7 starts had an ERA of 2.05 and had gone 7 innings or longer in 4 out of 5 starts from April 12th through May 5th. 2.05. Since then, he has not given up fewer than 2 runs in any start, and he has given up 5 or more in 7 starts.
Not great. It's a lot of early damage. It's early damage. Like, you know, try something different. I don't know.
19 runs in the first inning. Good God. I don't know, man. I don't know. But what I do know is coming up this Saturday, and I wanted to discuss this graphic that the Rockies tweeted out. I'll be at this game with one Sam Dykstra of MILB.com.
Hi, Sam.
The Rockies. Anthony says, hi, Sam. He waved to you.
Hello.
The Rockies on Saturday will be celebrating their 25th anniversary. And on Saturday morning, you can come down early to Coors Field to see the all-time 25 alumni at the 10:30 a.m. photo day, which includes such as the graphic says, Rockies greats.
Yeah.
Past and present, and it includes Larry Walker, Todd Helton, Vinny Castilla, Carlos Gonzalez, Ellis Burks, Pedro Estacio, Nolan Arenado, but it also includes Yorvit Torrealba, Chris Iannetta,
who's still on the team.
Street?
Yeah.
Houston Street is listed as a Rockies great.
No.
Houston Street, who pitched 3 seasons and was arguably one of the greatest GOATs in franchise history with how terrible he was in the 09 playoffs.
Not greatest of all times.
Not really greatest of all time. And I think it kind of speaks to Rockies franchise history that a reliever who pitched 3 middling seasons is listed as one of your franchise greats. That'll be cool. It'll be a neat little thing to have happen if you go down to Coors Field at 10:30. You can also get a 25th anniversary throwback replica jersey, which I find adorable because the Rockies haven't changed anything on their uniforms except putting a number on the front of the jersey. So presumably it'll be the exact same jersey that you would see them wear on Saturday. Then they'll take batting practice at 11:30, which is kind of cool. And then there will be a pregame ceremony with them at 12:40, and game time is at 1:10. Because what everybody wants to do on a late June Saturday is go sit under the sun and bake your friggin' face off for 2 straight days for a day game on Saturday and a day game on Sunday. So that's nice. But, you know, that'll be cool.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah. But look, the way they did it, too, it was like, it's like Castilla, Gonzalez, Francis, Walker. So I had some fun with it. It was like, what if it was Bizarro Photo Day? Wigginton, Butler, Stark, Barnes, Sheely, Chacon, Saberhagen, Miles, Quintanilla, Manwaring, McCracken. Like,
you want to know something super depressing? If you want to just feel exceedingly old and, you know, we're at a time today, celebrating a birthday where you should feel very old. Kurt Manwaring has a 23-year-old son who is in the San Francisco Giants organization, who I actually did not know. He's been in pro ball since 2013. I had never heard of him before. But if you remember Rockies legend Kurt Manwaring, Dylan Manwaring is a first baseman with the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes in the Northwest League. And, yeah, former legendary Rockies catcher Kurt Manwaring is now old enough to have a 23-year-old son who's playing pro ball.
My wife actually grew up down the street from Kurt Manwaring in Scottsdale. My wife.
From Dylan Manwaring as well?
Well, I guess, Presumably. Sure. She just turned 28, so the timing would be about right. But I think his daughter went to high school with my wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow, according to Scott Merkin, Eloy Jimenez to Charlotte.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting. Good. Yeah. I've already picked him up and stashed him in all my leagues that I need him for, so perfect.
Man, there are a lot of guys going up in the White Sox system. Dylan Cease goes up to Birmingham. Luis Basabe goes up to Birmingham. Eloy Jimenez goes to Charlotte. Sebby Zavala, one of the best names in minor league baseball, goes to Charlotte.
Speaking of great Rockies minor leaguers right now who have high pedigrees, Brendan Rodgers having himself a pretty nice month of June in Hartford. I'm sure, considering how well Garrett Hampson's playing in AAA, they might be reunited pretty soon in Albuquerque.
Yeah, there's got to be a call coming soon.
Yeah, for Brendan Rodgers in 16 games this month at Hartford, slashing .333, .414, .633, 3 homers, 7 doubles, 11 driven in. He's also stolen 3 bases. That is a very good sign. Overall in the season, Brendan Rodgers had a bit of a slow start, but he has really picked it up, now slashing .294, .346, .548, 14 bombs, 50 ribs. That is a very, very good thing for the Rockies.
What is weird is that the Eastern League doesn't have its All-Star game until July 11th, and a lot of minor league systems like to wait until an All-Star break to promote players. We saw the Rockies do this last year with Brendan Rodgers when he just crushed his way through Lancaster for the first half of the season. The Rockies kept him in Lancaster until the All-Star break in the California League and then promoted him to the Eastern League after that, and he was hitting .400, and toward the end of that June stretch in Lancaster, we were talking about, like, what more could Brendan Rodgers possibly be learning there? And I talked with Zach Wilson after the season. There was still a lot defensively they wanted to see him work on, but also I think it makes a lot of sense for organizations to wait until All-Star breaks and the logistics that go along with being able to promote a guy when he's got a few days off and can kind of relax and make that transition a little bit more slowly. But with the Eastern League being so late with its All-Star break, you would think, like, oh man, that's kind of makes it a little bit challenging. However, the AAA All-Star game is the exact same day. AAA All-Star game is in Columbus, Ohio on July 11th as well. So I would think there's probably a good chance. We haven't gotten Eastern League All-Star rosters yet, but Brendan Rodgers is going to be there. I would think maybe he plays out these next 2.5-3 weeks in Hartford, and then we see him get that call after the All-Star break. But yeah, there's right now he is as good as you would hope and expect him to be. One other guy who we have learned is still alive is Riley Pint, who did make his season debut for the Boise Hawks back on the 16th. He pitched on Saturday. There is some good news and some Riley Pint news.
As always with Riley Pint.
3 innings, no hits,
wow.
1 unearned run.
That's
5
great.
Strikeouts.
Hooray.
What's, nobody, you
what's
know,
the,
really
what's the bad
doing
news?
Any damage. 4 walks in 3 innings of work for Riley Pint, which, I don't know, it's obviously way too early to judge anything on that, but my hope would have been, you know, he comes out. My hope, and I would assume that this is what happened with Riley Pint. April 9th, he goes out, gets his head smashed in, a third of an inning, 2 hits, 5 runs, 3 earned, he walked 2, could not find the zone, didn't strike anybody out, lasted 1/3 of an inning, an ERA of 81, and then was yanked with an injury, placed on the disabled list on April 9th, and was then summarily gone from the Class A Asheville Tourists, and we didn't see him again for over 2 months. What I think probably happened was the Rockies realized, like, yeah, there's some work we really got to do with Riley Pint. They took him to Arizona, took him to the facility at Salt River Fields, a talking stick, probably broke down his delivery and rebuilt it in some ways. But my hope would be that we see pretty steadily strong progression in the command area. To go out in your first start and walk 4, you're working in game action for the first time, you know, outside of extended spring training, whatever it is. If you go out and you walk 4 guys, okay, that's a little bit understandable. If that's the first time you're really kind of getting
these 5, that's good.
Struck out 5, that's good. Didn't allow a hit, that's good. But at the same time, like, next time, I want to see 4 innings and 2 walks. And then the start after that, right, I want to see 5 innings and 1 or 0 walks. Like,
yep,
that's what you need to see from Riley Pine going forward. It's way too early to worry about Riley Pine because he's 20 years old, and we've seen other guys. You know, John Gray dealt with not getting strikeouts and walking more guys than you would have liked him to see back when he was in especially when he was in Tulsa. But you know, when you get to a stage with somebody like Riley Pint where it looks like there's been a pretty significant change in what he's doing on the mound, I would really like to see some big steps forward, especially because his stuff is way too good to be in the Northwest League.
Thank,
like,
God he's 11 years old
that
still.
Stuff, yeah, and looks like he's 6.
Yeah, he's 20 years old still.
And looks like he's 11.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just keep an eye on that because it'll be interesting to see where he goes from there. And, you know, if things continue to be super lame, then we'll start diving into some more prospect talk, which is not something that we want to do because it's been nice for the last couple of seasons to, you know, not have to talk only about prospects in the minor leagues because they've actually been playing.
Well, it's May 1st. The Rockies are 10 games out of first place. Let's talk about what's going on in Asheville.
Yeah, exactly. However, we haven't checked in with anybody across the system, and we don't want to neglect the system entirely, so we'll probably do that coming up here over the next few weeks and catch up with people from around the organization and check in on guys like, you know, Riley Pint and Brendan Rodgers and Peter Lambert, three toddlers in a trench coat. And, yeah, you know, we'll do that. I don't know. Is there anything else? I was explaining this to Sam. It's so weird, like, recording the show this year because, like, it's like that episode of Family Guy where they go to purgatory.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Lois is like, it's not that good, but
it's not that bad either. It's so-so.
Like, yeah. That is this season. Like, there's not enough for us to yell about angrily. Well, yeah. There is, but we're trying to stay a little bit positive.
Yeah.
And there's really not that much to be very excited about. So,
I really hope that our ratings on iTunes are really just like that. It's like, oh, it's not bad. It's not that good either.
Not that good, but it's not that bad. Whichever one of you jerks gave Connor's podcast a 1-star rating and said, listen, if you want to get cancer,
it was
terrible.
That's definitely Trem. Yeah,
yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Or as we said, it's Ernest Hemingway's heir.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Somebody, or it was either that or Eric Clapton. Somebody who listened to the show and was like, hey, I take exception to all of this.
Galen Hemingway. Probably is.
It probably is. It's probably the name.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up for now. Yeah. If you do want to stop by and say hello tomorrow, Friday, June 22nd, I will be with a crowd you can meet and probably get an autograph from, MILB.com's own Sam Dykstra. We'll probably be signing autographs tomorrow night at Lowdown Brewery.
Line out
Broadway.
The door. Yeah.
Line out the door, and we can. What?
I'll be signing my receipt. He'll
be signing. Yeah, he'll be giving an autograph to the waitress or waiter.
Oh, that's very nice of him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a proper way to exit your time at a food and beverage establishment. But yeah, we'll be there 7:30 tomorrow night if you want to come say hello. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's it. Buy our shirt, Rebel Dinosaur Podcast, BigCartel.com. We're rolling around other shirt ideas for the second half, so get excited.
And I think they're going to be good, yeah.
I think they are going to be good. I'm quite excited about the possibility. Yeah. I guess that'll do it.
All right.
He's Anthony. I'm Tyler. We'll talk to you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.